What has happened in our society today to the art of language? It seems like you can't go anywhere. You can't watch anything without being bombarded by language that's not fit for ears to hear. Some of these words are four letters. Some are five. Some are compound words. Some words that are seemingly innocuous and innocent have now replaced those four-letter words so it doesn't sound as bad. There are a lot of folks out there that will defend this as this is the real way people talk. Garbage is real. And I don't want it scattered on the street in front of our house. Unless there is a better reason or four-letter word other than realism, then it should be left unsaid. Can you imagine how much brain power it actually does not take to come up with those words? You don't really have to think at all. There are four-letter words, though, that have both realism and value. And I think we all need to bring back these words and practice them. You know, there is that old word, duty. So often today when we speak of duty, others will typically say, well, what's in it for me? We look at duty and we expect reward. We expect promotions. The idea that we should do something just because it seems right seems to be some kind of modern heresy. In Ephesians 6 and verse 1, Paul wrote here, "Children, obey your parents." Why? He just said it very simply, for this is right. There is no other explanation needed, no other reason given. There is duty involved. Jesus, he showed the same principle in Luke chapter 17 in verses 9 and 10. It is in these verses that he pointed out that no thanks were due to a servant who did their job. He said in verse 10, "So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have done what is our duty.'" We should not be expecting any thanks for the things that we were responsible to do. For those in the military, if you had the opportunity to stand guard duty, did they thank you when your tour was up? No. You realized you had done your job when nobody attacked the camp. Another four-letter word that we should revive is the word will. We live in an age where it is popular to blame others for the defects in our character. We might blame other people for the living conditions that we live in. There was a time, and I'm sure that if you would ask some of our seasoned citizens, that there was a time when people were willing to grit their teeth, to roll up their sleeves, to change either themselves or their conditions in life. They weren't afraid of working hard. During the Great Dust Bowl era, if you go back and you look at the history books, how people packed up all their belongings or what they could and left their homes. They went and sought work in places other than where they were living. They weren't afraid to change to be able to support their families. Where did we ever learn that we can always shift the blame on someone else? God reminds us in Romans 14 and verse 12 that so each then will give an account of himself to God. Now, just fast forward in your minds to that great day when you're standing before the judgment seat and you have to give an account for your actions. What excuses do you think God will accept? There will be none. One of the most prolific apostles, the Apostle Paul. If there was anyone in the Bible who had a right to complain, it was Paul. He didn't blame anyone. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, he says, I discipline my body and keep it under control. It's very easy to place that because Paul realized that the only one that can change Paul is Paul. No one else can change yourself. And through the exercise of the will, one can accomplish great things in themselves. And it is then where change occurs. You know, when we meet somebody who has made something out of themselves, who's worked really hard, we say, boy, they sure are lucky. But luck had nothing to do with it. It was will that did it. Jesus, he said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. See, Jesus didn't say, as long as your friends repent or as long as your family repents because of the way you turned out, you're going to be lost. This whole statement is meaningless except for the will of man. We need to stop saying, I can't help it, and use our will to bring about the desired change in ourselves. What do you think about the word obey? Now you look at it in society today and we sit there and say, well, wives, you're to obey your husbands. What kind of response do you think you'll get outside these four walls? It won't be pretty, I can tell you that. Because the attitude of the outside, when someone is to obey someone else, it means they've got their thumb or their boot on the neck of that individual. Some children learn four-letter words at home. For those who are school teachers, you probably have heard it all. These are words that they should never have heard to begin with. Many of us were fortunate to have parents who taught us the meaning of words, who was handy with the bar of soap or a shoe when words were spoken that should never have been spoken. But they also taught us lessons in four-letter words also. We were taught to quit. We were taught to stop. We were taught don't. Children who do not learn what no means are greatly handicapped. And that handicap will follow them throughout life. A child who doesn't learn obedience to parents while young is likely not to respect the authority of our system of laws when they are older. And chances are they're not going to be very obedient to God either. Just think about Jesus Christ, because in Hebrews 5 and verse 8, the writer was speaking about Jesus. And he said, to the one who has been given all authority, both in heaven and earth, still learned obedience. Now, if Jesus learned obedience, don't you think that behooves us also? For the very next verse points out that he is the Savior of them that obey. How can you ever be a great leader if you've never learned to follow? This is the problem with our society today. Everyone wants to start at the top. No one wants to have to dig the hole in the ground. They want to stand behind the levers of a machine to be able to do that work for them. With the proper attitude of submission to authority, when we develop it in our children at an early age, they will have the foundation of success, and they will have a much happier life. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, it tells us, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. We will never, ever get too old to the point that we can ignore obedience. How many of us think the word work is a dirty word? Maybe Dobie Gillis, Maynard G. Krebs. That's, all right, some of you probably don't remember that show. Okay, that was a long, long time ago. But every time the word work was mentioned, he'd go, work! There was a time when people who did not like their living conditions or their status in life, they went to work to change. They didn't go out and demonstrate. They didn't go out and protest. They didn't turn to others for support. They found something to do to change their situation. If he wasn't making enough money, he found another job, or he worked harder at the one he had. So many people today expect something for nothing. Can you imagine getting $15 an hour just saying you want fries with that? Kind of pathetic, isn't it? The jobs that our teenagers used to take for their summer when they're out of school now are filled with older people who should be out there earning a living that can support themselves. Probably many of us remember the time when we would work hard just for a few dollars a day, and we'd work long hours. There's a young couple in our midst today whose husband made a promise that she would never live in a trailer, and she did, until he worked himself into a very successful business. He did it with his own two hands and the support of a loving spouse. The sacrifices they made early benefited in the long run. We have people out there who protest in the streets that they want more money, and yet realizing that when the cost of everything goes up, that everybody is still in the same place they've been. Growing up, when my dad worked in the cement plant or my mom worked in the sewing factory, every time they got a raise, you go to the grocery store, the prices went up a little bit. Everybody knew everybody else got a raise, so everybody's going to get a piece of it. We cannot expect anything in this life unless we work for it. In Titus 3 and verse 8, it says, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who believe in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. This verse of Scripture also reminds us that we need to maintain wholesome occupations. Paul led by example. He worked to provide for himself and those who were with him in his ministry. Paul was a tent maker. Paul didn't demand a price to teach and preach. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11, he said, and aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, to work with your own hands as we instructed you. Those who refuse to work, those who complain about being hungry because they will not put forth the effort to provide for themselves, kind of leaves me cold. When someone comes out and says that we owe them something, that really kind of sticks in your craw. Time we get back to the principles that Paul set forth in the Bible in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, if anyone's not willing to work, let him not eat. Work is not a dirty word. But work is dirty business, and we have to get dirty to support ourselves. We need to restore the dignity in the word work where it was. Another four-letter word that seems to have become a dirty word is the word amen, a word that we need to revive. It means basically that we are in agreement. And many of us have probably sit in congregations where you would hear somebody yell out amen when somebody said something that they agreed with. We don't hear that too often anymore. Maybe we've become too dignified. Or maybe it's because we've become petrified. Joshua 24 and verse 15, Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Encouragement, being in agreement, things that we need to work with. The public commitment calls for courage. It calls for determination. And we need these things if we are going to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. I know I use it an awful lot, this verse of Scripture, Romans 12, verse 1. But I really like it because it really, every time I read it, I'm thinking about myself. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Friends, we need to recapture the faith that our Christian brothers and sisters had 2,000 years ago. We need to have that courage once again to stand up and be counted. Not all four-letter words are dirty. But if we can revive the use of these four-letter words, not only in our speech, but also in our daily lives, we just might, at least in our realm of society, bring back some sanity. But of greater importance is that when we use these words, we will, in the end, glorify God and also be glorified. Speech matters. What we say to one another and how we say it matters. What we do with our lives matters. Not maybe while we are living, but after we are left. If there is anyone here this evening who is in need, the prayers of the congregation, if it is your time to change your life for the better forever, and you want to put on your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in baptism, we want to give you that opportunity. Maybe you just need to repent and make some changes in your life. If there's anybody that has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.